A Walk with Mr. O, written by Stuart Olliott. Part 1. Why am I still sinning so much? Part 2. I want to be a better Christian, but...
Mr. O, it's now been a while since I became a Christian. So why am I still sinning so much?
What an encouraging question.
What do you mean? How can you be encouraged by hearing that a child of God is sinning? And sometimes sinning really badly.
Let me explain. At one stage in my life, I lived in a tiny Welsh village that was composed of a farm, a handful of cottages, and a solitary street lamp. The way to that village was along a narrow lane that was badly maintained. It was uneven and full of potholes.
I've got the picture, but I'm not at all sure where you're leading me.
I want you to imagine that you are walking to that village at night. It is really dark, far darker than a town or city dweller has ever known. Suddenly you trip and fall into a muddy puddle, but you get up and continue your journey. At what point will you begin to realize how dirty you are?
Okay, I understand. The answer, of course, is that I will start seeing what a state I'm in when I get near the lamp.
And what will happen when you get right under the lamp?
I will discover that I'm far dirtier than I thought at first, and presumably, I will start doing something about it.
Exactly. The reason that you are asking why you are still sinning so much is because you are nearer the light, that is, the Lord, than you were at the beginning of your Christian life. The proof is that you are not proud of the state you are in, and you want to do something about it.
Mr. O, you certainly seem to know how to encourage people, but I can't go on as I am. What can I do about all this sin in my life?
We will need another walk to talk about that. Right now, there is something else that you need to know. So let me give you a very brief quote from the great reformer, Martin Luther. To believers who were conscious of their sin and who hated it, he said, "Sin boldly."
But that's a terrible thing to say. My sin crucified the Savior, and I don't want to do it anymore. If Luther was such a great reformer, how could he tell anyone to carry on sinning?
Hold your horses. Let's put it all in context and find out what Luther really meant. Yes, he was intending to shock people because he wanted them to learn an important lesson. He certainly didn't want believers to sin, but nor did he want the discovery of their continuing sinfulness to rob them of their peace. We all sin. We do it every day. So face the fact, this is the reality you have to live with. But don't let sin in your life cause you to cower, to falter, to weaken, and to give up. Don't let it rob you of anything. Sin boldly.
This is a bit harder to grasp than your picture of the village street light, but please, go on.
On those days when you sin little, you are no more acceptable to God than on those days when you sin a great deal. The only righteousness that has ever commended you to God is the righteousness of Christ which has been imputed to you, that is, has been put on your account. Grasp the wonderful truth of double imputation. All your sins have been put on Christ's account. He died for them on the cross. His perfect righteousness has been put on your account. You are as much a child of God when you fail as when you succeed. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Don't get engrossed with your sin, but with your Savior. This is the open secret of the Christian life. Look up, not down. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me.
Thank you, Mr. O. I see it now. My growing awareness of sin isn't necessarily a sign that I'm slipping away, but that I'm drawing closer to the light. And in that light, I'm reminded again, my hope has never been in my performance, but in my perfect Savior. You know, I also have another question that kind of goes along with this one, and it's an area I'm just not doing well with.
Okay, go ahead then.
The thing is, I'm not a great Christian, and I want to be a better one. I know that there are all sorts of things that would help me, but I just can't manage to do them.
Can you give me some examples?
Well, for starters, my faith is a very up-and-down affair. Some days I believe everything very strongly, but the next day I find that I can hardly believe anything at all. Yes, I know that regularly drinking in the Word of God would sort this out, but I'm often thinking about other things during the sermons, and daily Bible reading just seems like a chore. I'm always putting it off.
Go on.
Deep down, I know I ought to pray more, but I don't. I need to get my act together and really lay hold on God, but I just can't get around to it. If I did, I know that the Lord would help me with church, with Bible reading, with all the other things like witnessing and giving and serving the church. But I'm stuck. There are blessings waiting for me at the top of the mountain, but I can't get up there.
It's very true that there are very many wonderful blessings waiting for you, but they are not at the top of the mountain.
They're not? Well, where are they then?
They're at the bottom of the valley.
I don't know what you mean.
Your mistake is a common one, sadly. You seem to think that the Lord will meet with you if you do this and this and this. But communion with God is not a matter of do, 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 as I once read in a book. When Jesus comes to us, it is not on the peak of attainment, but in the valley of need. You have to go down to meet the Lord, not up. He specializes in failures, not successes. His love is like water. It flows down to the lowest place.
What does this mean in practice?
There you go again, looking for something to do, do, do. Christianity is not ticking off items on a to-do list. It is fixing your eyes on somebody who went to the lowest place of all. Continuing to be the eternal Son of God, he took on our nature. That was a step down. Every following step was also down until he was made sin for us, crucified, dead, and buried. He went to the lowest place because that is our place, and it is the only place where you will meet him. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not successes.
So, Mr. O, what counsel would you give me?
Stop pretending. You are never going to be a success, so get that idea out of your head. Even after many years as a Christian, the Apostle Paul said, "I am, present tense, the chief of sinners." Own up to being a sinner. Admit it in every prayer. You will find that the Savior will never turn you away.
Does this mean that we are to stop making any effort in our Christian life?
Of course not. But think of it like this. When you are so cold that you are going into hypothermia, there's not much you can do for yourself. You certainly can't do all the exercises that would warm you up. So stop trying. Use the little strength you've got left to go and sit by the fire. Better still, go outside and get a bit of sunshine. Warming up may take a little time, but you'll soon be active again. Sinners who sit in the sun get health, but never sunstroke.
Wow. Thanks, Mr. O. Those are some really helpful thoughts that are correcting areas that I've just not been thinking biblically on. I look forward to walking with you again. Bye for now.
A Walk with Mr. O, a short reflections written by Stuart Olliott, originally written for Evangelical Times. These concise pieces, reproduced with the author's permission, encourage a closer walk with Christ. Listen for new installments as we upload them in the months ahead.